Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this service of Central Congregational Church on this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Today we are joined by our music director, the maestro Dave Valaria, and Pastor Glenn Roundsville, our youth minister. So Pastor Glenn, could you call us to worship, please?
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Today we are reminded of the great power the Holy Spirit exerted to raise our Savior from death to eternal life. We have access to that new life as well. The Spirit of God continues to display power as we continue to be remade into the image and likeness of our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. This is the time we share announcements. I was given none, so I don't know if anyone here has an announcement. Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Dave, could you introduce our middle hymn?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being with us. The opening hymn was What a Friend We Have in Jesus, if you recognize that. And the middle hymn we're going to sing, if you have a hymnal, is 575. It's Onward Christian Soldiers. And if you go down to the chat section, the lyrics have been posted there. Just click on them. There's two verses, but the trumpet will play the entire song down one time first before we start singing. So let's all sing Onward Christian Soldiers.
Thank you.
This is the time we share our celebrations and concerns, Pastor Glenn.
Yep. Just have to shift gears a little bit here.
It's all good.
So first, if people have celebrations, if you'd like to share those.
I will celebrate that I had heard from Reverend Carol that she so far did not get caught in the hurricane. She's, if you knew, she was down on a cruise in the Caribbean and there was a hurricane lurking, but so far so good. I think she's supposed to be landing in Nassau today. I got a text earlier that said she's good. So I think that's good news.
Yeah. Oh, Pastor Glenn, I have a celebration.
Okay.
My friend Andrew from Riverview is turning 19 on Tuesday.
Nice.
And I have one for the cooler weather for us folks that it does a job on.
Okay. Amen.
Okay.
I'm thankful.
That's good. That's great.
I'd also mentioned Reverend Carroll had said earlier in the week that Sue Winship was doing a little better. I don't think she's home yet, but yeah, she, if you recall, she had come off a month of chemo and then followed that up with pneumonia. Lovely. But supposedly doing a bit better. And I'm sure we'll get an update next week from Reverend Carroll.
That's good. Very good. Plus, I had a couple things. Kristen got a teaching job in Plymouth. She starts in September. About that. And also, my daughter, Kim, got a year-long ministry internship at the conference center where she's been working over the summer. So that was something that she really had wanted to do. So that was, both of those things are kind of a blessing. Any other celebrations? Now we'll turn to the...
Wait, 1 minute. I forgot. So Sherilyn had her birthday on Friday the 13th. I can't let her off the hook like that. Yep.
We're not going to go into numbers, I'm sure.
No. She turned... no, we're not going to share. All right.
I'm wise enough not to do that. Okay. And now we turn to our concerns. Do you have any concerns? I have a list that I got from Kathy. But if there are others, please let me know. It's kind of good if we don't have concerns to add.
I'm sorry, Reverend Glenn, can we, I was watching the news last night and it's a mess down in Haiti. They had another earthquake down there that was pretty bad. Can we pray for those people down there?
Pastor Glenn, this is Carmen. Could we add one more name, a friend of ours, Paul, please?
What is it, Paul?
Paul, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so let's pray. God, we do have celebrations. We thank you for those. That Carol is not in the track of the hurricane, is safe, at least close by home. We thank you that Sue is doing a little better in terms of her condition. I pray for healing in all the areas of her body that do need it, and also pray for strength for her and that she would feel your presence with her. We thank you for Madison's friend Andrew, who's going to turn 19 on Tuesday, and we are thankful for Jackie's celebration that we will have some cooler weather. We pray that that would continue. I thank you that both Kristen and Kim have jobs lined up for the year, and that Sherilyn celebrated her birthday on Friday. We have many concerns on our list. We pray that you would be in the midst of all the crises that are happening, all the needs that need to be met, with the families who aim to support those who are having each of the problems. We pray for Carmen's request for Paul, for Tom, for Cher, again for Sue, Marge, Jennifer, Len, Lee, Marie, Tyler, Brigida, Linda, Ben, Ron, Loretta, AJ, Ed, and Janet, and those in nursing homes and assisted living, Jackie, Carolyn, Doris, and Bob. Also for Matt Trowbridge, I'm not sure of his condition. Kathy hasn't updated me on that, but continued prayers for him as well. And also for the things that happened dramatically in our world and may not affect us here, but we do pray for our brothers and sisters and all those affected in Haiti. I pray that you'd come in some way through the Red Cross, through other organizations to help to support them, and also pray that we continue to support them with our prayers as they recover from that major earthquake. Also do pray for those who serve in the military, and I know that there's a lot of things going on in the world, and sometimes we forget that people are deployed and people have to go, and families then lose loved ones, even if it's for an extended period of time, but we do pray for them, support them, give them strength, and let them feel your presence with them. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. It's on Zoom. We know we'd rather be together in person, but it's such a blessing to be able to share our faith and have a place to do that. We thank you for that as well. Amen.
Care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
In today's scripture lesson, we continue with Paul's letter to the people of Ephesus. He wrote this letter from a prison cell in Rome around 60 to 61 AD. In these verses, similar to those I read last week, he's given the people of Ephesus guidance on how to live life as a Christian. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Please hear these words. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Spent a lot of time in the book of Ephesians, and it started with a class that I took in seminary, and I always had, in the context of that class, I had a lot of struggles even to read the book of Ephesians, and I think it's because it was working on me in a way to give up control of the way I wanted things to proceed. It's very difficult for us to just let God do what he will in our lives. But on the other hand, every time I've done so, it turned out to be the right thing. And it would if I had gotten my own way, I think it would have been a horrible situation. Now, in terms of this text, I had so many notes on this text. It's only a small text, but I looked in all three of my Bibles and there were notes absolutely everywhere. So it's a very rich text. And the question that I came up with as I read the text is, what would life look like without the Spirit? What would it look like without the Spirit in our life? What would it look like to others if the Spirit hadn't entered our lives at some point? We would be very different people, wouldn't we? Now, without the Spirit, I'm sensing that you could have a philosophy, or what would your philosophy be other than eat, drink, or be merry, like serve the needs of the self, like constantly, or kind of be hopeless at the fact that you really cannot save yourself. You'd get to the end of yourself and say, well, what else is there? Without the Spirit, without God working in us, that would be kind of a hopeless situation. Now, the text almost right in the middle of the passage says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. So there's an option always at work. I would like to say, like, there are dueling spirits at work all the time. And there's a choice that we make all the time, whether we feed one spirit or the other, whether we allow one to work within us or the other. The other spirit could be called darkness at work within us. The other is light at work within us. And this is talked about just a couple passages before this one. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, and find out what pleases the Lord. Sometimes following the Spirit is not the easiest thing to do. Sometimes when you pray a prayer and ask for the Spirit to guide you, or you ask to be filled with the Spirit, you're all of a sudden looking at yourself in the mirror in a different way. You're seeing things that maybe you didn't want to see, because it opens you up to seeing yourself as God sees us, as his children, as the children of light, as his adopted children. And what would he have us do? It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, sometimes I read that and I go, you know, that's like an unusual thing. That's, you know, you're not going to be driven that far that you're going to, you know, you're just going to go wild, right? But then I started to think about it and I'm like, okay, but what things do we allow to fill us that kind of control what we do and take over our time and take over how we share things with others? Now, if we're to look at it kind of in a concrete way, if you took somebody who's an alcoholic, let's say that alcoholic, they cannot choose to drink. I've had people in my family who had this problem. They cannot choose to drink. If you choose to drink, then you are feeding your addiction again. You're filling yourself with that very thing that can destroy you. And I also saw the repercussions of what it does to a family, and that it can impact generations of a family of that kind of abuse. Now, that's not the only kind of addiction. That's not the only way we find to fill ourselves, or many. The prevalent ones today, I think, are the workaholism that we see. I kind of grew up in a family, we had a family business. And so from the first thing in the morning till almost the last thing at night, what was on your mind was work. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to work. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have a business. I'm just saying it's a bad thing if that is what possesses you, if that's what drives you, if you don't allow time for rest as God would have us rest. If you don't allow for time with family as God would have us have time with family, if you don't allow yourself to read the word to enjoy worship time, to spend time with God, to actually sit and listen to what he would say to you, to actually take the time and take that deliberate step to be filled with the Spirit rather than everything else that's at work in the world and is forced on us kind of from one day to the next. The other thing that I think kind of has crept into our life, and I want to call it a technoholic, is people who have the phone constantly in their hand. And if it's not the phone, it's another gadget. It's just very filling. It's something that we fill ourselves up. We need more, we need more, we need more. We want to see more news, we want more entertainment, we want to be filled with those things. But any of these things, if you went, and I've been in a place in hospital ministry especially, when people are lucid enough to talk about their past and how things led them to the place where they were, the regrets that are just there from these things that I've talked about, from being obsessed by other things besides the things that God wants us to do, the level of hurt, the level of loss, the level of emptiness and sorrow, because they did not accept the Spirit of God into their life. A lot of times those were the people who had no faith whatsoever, and I would go and I would ask them if they wanted me to pray for them, and I wasn't sure because they didn't have that background. Almost on every occasion when I prayed for a person, they just melted, it seemed. A huge weight came off them and they were crying. They either never thought they had the opportunity to be called children of God. They never thought God cared for them. They were lost in such a way that they did not feel they could find their way back. But God is there. God is there to fill that space that we so desperately want to fill. But Paul is telling us that we cannot fill it with the things that we'd rather fill it with, the things that are so within arm's length. But rather, we need to think of the Spirit. And I think it's difficult because we can't get our hands on the Spirit, right? It's not tangible. But when it's in you, you feel it there. To use this illustration, when you go to a funeral, when you go to a wake, and they display a body there, you look and you say, that is not them. Well, what's missing? Their spirit is missing. The thing that animates them, the thing that was them, is missing. How tangible is that? That spirit that could love, that had feeling, that could see and enjoy the world. It's not there. In the same way, it's obvious when someone does not have the Spirit of God within in them, they chase after all these things that are not going to fill them up. Hopefully the Spirit of God is obvious in us, that we have deliberately made the choice to fill ourselves with His Spirit. At the times when I felt like I was most powerful in terms of sermons, I've done all my prep work, know the text, know the surrounding text, some interrelated things in the Word. And then within the half an hour before I want to preach, I give it to God and ask that I be led by the Spirit in what I say. Because in some ways that those things that I write down is, I came to found is, it's almost like a personal agenda. You put that down. These are my thoughts. Well, God's thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. What will He say through me? And I'm almost always amazed that when we could gather at other places that I've preached, you stand at the door and you shake hands, someone will come up and say, oh my gosh, that thing that you said, and they repeat what I said, and I can't remember saying it. That hit me so hard. That was exactly the thing that I needed for somebody to say. And I can't take credit for it. And I think that's the way it should be. I think that the Spirit should flow through us in such a way that it's Him and the Father and Jesus working through us. And it's not us, but it is us. And our Spirit works in union with His. It's a mystery, but it's also amazing. And it's also what Paul is telling us to do. A lot of times this is like a fear-invoking thing, to be led by the Spirit to do things that we would not rather do, that scare us, that are different. And that's why I think he paired it with this text that follows at the end from verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds us to be thankful even in the midst of change, even in the midst of things that tend to scare us, and it reminds us to be thankful of everything that God has done for us up to this point. And then we're reminded that He will be with us through every step that comes next. I think that's awesome. And I also think we have each other to lift us up. We have each other to help discern if what we are doing is correct, and we have the Word of God to look at and see if it makes sense in terms of those dueling spirits. So I challenge you, if you feel like God is calling you to kind of step out of a place where you're most comfortable, use all of those things and realize that we will be our best selves as we allow the Spirit to work within us. Amen. the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That concludes today's service. You are certainly welcome to hang around for our virtual coffee hour. Until next week.
Thank you, Reverend Glenn. And that sermon was one of those ones where